Concussive Maintenance Podcast. I'm Kurt Warble, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems and host of the show. It's the responsibility of engineers to capitalize on the science behind reducing both energy consumption and spiraling building costs. Today, we welcome in Raj Sethi, owner of Sethi & Associates International, a Washington, D.C.-based firm whose engineers take pride in leveraging this science in every system they design, every energy model they run, every device they commission, and each construction project they manage.
Hi, good morning. My name is Raj Sethi. I'm a registered mechanical engineer based out of Washington, D.C., and I'm also a certified commissioning agent and on the ASHRAE Epidemic Task Force for schools.
Perfect. Raj, if you could tell us a little bit more about Sethi and the scope of work that the firm provides.
Sure. My mother and father founded the company in 1984. And as the true Indian heritage, I was also dragged through my first air handler when I was five. So I've been in the business for a long time. And we're based out of Washington, D.C. We have nine offices now, and we're slowly but surely expanding our suite of services. And our core business is still mechanical, electrical, plumbing design, plus commissioning.
So as you mentioned, you guys have nine offices. Some of those locations include DC, as you did mention, New York, Baltimore, Philadelphia, and also overseas in Mysore, India. And I apologize if I butchered that. Tell us some of the pros and cons of running such a large operation.
So a few years ago, we had a consultant come in and just kind of talk to us about our brand. They interviewed some of our clients, they interviewed our employees. And one of the things that came out, we asked them, what's your most admired company? And surprisingly, a lot of them said Five Guys. And so then we started to go deeper into Five Guys, the brand of Five Guys, simplistic food, and also it was on just a tear of expansion. So what we found is, yes, it's more work, but at the same time, it does give a lot of the recruitment of new staff. They like the idea of a company that's growing, not shrinking or not being stable. So even though engineers like to be conservative, the thought of adding offices, looking into new markets was something that was very attractive in helping us to recruit top quality talent. The other piece of it is in Washington, D.C., we have an incredible amount of competition with other MEP firms. There is, I think my last count was anywhere from 40 to 50. Every company in this country typically has a DC office. So we are all chasing after that small, same slice. Every client already has their engineering firm. So we have to displace someone typically. And that's going to come down to price and relationships. But when we move to another market like Philly or Charlottesville, then we're only competing with two or three companies. So it is definitely, our odds are better. So that's kind of the thought process.
Perfect. Raj, I noticed on your profile on Sethi's website, it has you listed as facility security officer. This made me chuckle. I have to ask about the origin of that title.
So we also have a division that does cleared work for the State Department and many other three-letter agencies here in the DC area. And so based on that, all that work has to follow some stringent security requirements. And so that is where I get to monitor that and become the responsible authority, making sure our staff's trained how to handle secure documents. So that's kind of where that comes from. The second piece is, I think it was about 5 years ago, we did have a pretty severe cyber attack, and we've kind of moved the that part of our business operations to have its own independent entity and doing audits. If we get shut down like any MEP firm, we're doomed. So if we lose our data, we're doomed. So that becomes a single point of failure that we have to address. So hence I am the security officer.
So you're not standing outside the door bouncing people's from the firm, right?
Yeah, no. Only if they miss their deadline, yeah.
Perfect. Raj, I noticed that you're also on the ASHRAE Epidemic Task Force, a group that's widely recognized as the built environment's A1 authority on COVID-19. Tell us about that group and your role within it.
It's been really rewarding. So I'm on a couple ASHRAE technical committees, and then the main one I'm involved in is TC 9.7, which is the education committee. So from that, they selected a few people. They asked them to join the epidemic task force. I was thankful that they asked me, and then we meet every couple weeks. It slowed up a bit now that the pandemic is hitting its end. And then we started to come up with guidelines. I think there's around 80 or 100 people in that. And then there's very different groups. There's the building side, there's the cleaning and disinfection team, and then I'm in the schools team. So it's been good putting out the guidance. It's allowed me to really deal with scientists and how they view the world. And then it's allowed the scientists also to kind of hear from engineers and say like, okay, yeah, I know you can do this, but now we have X amount of a budget. So how do you make this actually work? So with the pandemic, I've been able to see science go to engineering in a much faster timeline. And that task force has been great because of the speed. ASHRAE moves at its own measured pace. And so this time it's moved very quickly.
Breakneck speed for sure.
Breakneck speed, exactly.
Raj, SETI offers a unique tool called the 5.2 Risk Estimator. Tell us about this offering and the problems that it aims to solve.
So when you start to put in any type of recommendation that the task force has put out, changing to MERV 13 filters, increasing your air change rates, whether you use ultraviolet radiation or bipolar, ultimately, we as engineers have to answer our clients the single question of, is it working? And what is our target? So there is a formula called the Wells-Riley equation. We took that equation and altered it to give us a risk of probability for infection. And this tool, we've worked with around almost 100 school systems at this point, millions of square feet. And it's not just HVAC. We know it's an airborne virus, but it's the time of exposure. So this allows operators to use all these different tools, whether they tell their students, you know, every 2 hours, we're going to rotate out of there. We're going to let the air cleaners kind of chunk through the air and filter it. So that all gives them not just operational tools, but also ventilation tools and MERV 13. If you can't change to MERV 13, then what can I get from a benchmark of success from a MERV 12? So as an engineer, we have to have a goal, a target. And so the target we came up with typically is about under 5% of the probability of infection. And so that's kind of how we start to put the projects together and lay it out, not just across the classroom, but across the entire school, because schools are a big contiguous body.
Absolutely. I also know that SETI offers independent third-party commissioning. Tell us about the importance of this offering and why any project manager shouldn't shy away from it.
So the best examples that I always see in commissioning has actually been commissioning of roofs. So if I'm an owner and I want my roof to withstand, a Cat 5 hurricane, the architect designs it, and then the contractor builds it. Now, when's the first time you want to know that if it was done right? It really can't be that hurricane. So it is commissioning. And so that's why that example, it's easier for a lot of owners to understand. On the HVAC side, the commissioning world has really started to shift into a data aggregation platform. And we at this point, SETI, we have 16 software programmers on staff, and we're just developing our own software to, in essence, query and filter all the data that's starting to come in. So I think commissioning, recommissioning is going to be turned into data aggregation and then interpreting all of the data. So I think that's a space that MEP engineers and commissioning agents have to embrace before we become irrelevant.
The world could certainly benefit from a heavy dose of fact-checking, right?
Yeah, indeed.
Raj, through the pandemic, virtual commissioning and virtual retro commissioning have grown to prominence. Does SETI offer these services, and do you believe there will be a need for them post-pandemic?
Yes. As you start to think about your business and your different business lines, everything has to shift to virtual first, and then you start to move into going physically to the site. So with one of our largest clients, we have an entire school system of 115 schools, the IoT sensors is just one of the data streams. But where we are right now is we've put in what's called a supervisory control system. So we take every building management system, and it's across multiple vendors, whether it's Honeywell, JCI, Trane, dozens of vendors, Reliable, and they all come into a singular dashboard. So now the operators, they're going to do what's called intelligent dispatch, and they will dispatch techs to fix the critical alarms by region, by area. So if they got four schools in an area, they're going to try to hit all four of those schools because it's efficient. So the next thing is we're troubleshooting anything virtually through a digital twin platform. This digital twin, it pulls in all your work orders. So you can go, oh, well, there's an open work order. No wonder someone's hot or cold. It pulls in your historical data. It pulls in your controls data. We now have deployed IAQ sensors. If that is what they're looking at, with that secondary set of data points showing the air quality. So virtual first, virtual commissioning is where you really need to start to shift and start thinking about how many existing data points you already have and start to go, okay, what other algorithms, what other features can we start to pull from the existing data we're collecting? One simple example is every school building, every room has a thermostat in it. Now, if I take that thermostat value and we go into unoccupied mode and I start to see the degradation of the temperature go from 72 down to 68 in 1 hour, and then another room goes from 72 to 68 in 4 hours, I have a very direct line saying which building has good insulative value and which one doesn't. I know which envelope then will go out to the field and start to check. So I think pivot. As you're a commissioning agent, you have data. It's about interpreting all that data.
That's great. Raj, we've covered quite a bit in this interview already. That said, if you could leave the consulting and specifying engineers or facility managers who are watching this or listening to this with one final thought, what would it be?
I presented recently on the ASHRAE Virtual Design Conference. It was the first annual. And one of the things that struck me as I listened to some of the other folks is that the world of consulting engineering is shrinking. If you look at the software abilities, it's probably going to take the documents. If an architect can lay out, we'll take the example of diffusers. If they can lay out diffusers, that's on the software because they want to do a reflected ceiling plan. And then an engineer might come in and do some load calcs. They may do some flow diagrams, set up the infrastructure, and then hand it to a contractor to finish off the documents and build it. Our piece of the pie is getting very, very small. And there are several projects now where, you know, the electrical contractor's handling the whole thing, design, build. So I think from our standpoint, consulting engineers, we have to reinvent ourselves. I know you hear that term all the time, but we have to attach ourselves to the building. We have to figure out how to provide value. Unfortunately, I hear it from too many building owners and architects that we're a necessary evil. I don't know how we got to this point, but that's not where we need to be. Every engineer I've ever met, their hearts are in the right place. And I think we just have to do a better job of branding ourselves and showing our dedication to the built environment. So that's what I'd leave us with is, you know, pivot, wake up.
Thanks for those words of wisdom, Raj. If anyone's interested in learning more about SETI or yourself, where should they turn?
Our website, of course, SETI.com. If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, I try to publish a fair bit there, and that's a great place. And then we can move to email from there, and hopefully we can continue the conversation.
Well, Raj, we appreciate you taking some time out of your day to share some time with us. We look forward to connecting with you again sometime soon. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Very good, Herb. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Raj SETI. And as he mentioned, if you're interested in connecting with him or his firm, visit SETI.com. That's SETTY.com. The Percussive Maintenance Podcast is now available on Spotify. Show your support of industry journalism by rating and reviewing this podcast. Doing so will help us reach a much broader audience. Also, please subscribe or bookmark us so that you can enjoy all of our past and future episodes. We appreciate your continued support. And remember, if you can't fix it with your brain, you can always rely on a swift kick. We'll see you next time.